You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The United States and New Zealand are the only high-income countries that allow unrestricted direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription medicines, which directs advertising towards consumers rather than medical professionals. I spoke to Associate Professor of Medical Psychological Medicine at the University of Auckland, David Menkes, about concerns researchers have raised about direct-to-consumer advertising and how to address them. I started our interview asking him how direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription medicines operates in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
I mean, the supply of medicines around the world is a huge industry, and generally speaking, in the wealthier countries, of which New Zealand is one, there is generally pretty much open slather on what you can advertise regarding over-the-counter and non-prescription medicines. But when it comes to prescription drugs, the story is different, because drugs are classified as prescription only if they carry a risk of serious harm if they're not used appropriately. And so that's why you need to go see a doctor and review the situation and the indications for that medicine and get a prescription if the chances of benefit significantly outweigh the chances of harm from that treatment. So anomalously, two countries out of the whole world allow direct-to-consumer advertising of those prescription medicines. New Zealand is one, and the USA is the other. Most countries have considered it and banned it because it is seen as a dangerous thing and also has other destructive effects. So, for example, it distorts the doctor-patient relationship quite a lot. So many doctors, particularly GPs, face this every day of their clinical practice. People coming in, having heard or seen an advert, and asking, as the advert almost always concludes with, that little statement, ask your doctor if this is right for you. And that's exactly what they do. So doctors get, you know, barraged with these people coming in saying, oh, well, I wondered about this, you know, is that going to help me? And, you know, most of the time it consumes valuable doctor-patient consultation time to review that stuff and decide most often that, well, actually, no, you're already on, an acceptable treatment, or no, that's not actually for you, or whatever it is. So there is that effect on the doctor-patient relationship that's really distracting and time-wasting thing. Is that the other reason why it's outlawed in most countries is because it increases the demand for usually expensive brand name pharmaceuticals. Those are the ones that get advertised, not the standard old generics, which are usually at a relatively low price, and there's not really much margin in it for the companies to promote those. But the new ones that have a brand name and usually have been only recently approved, that those are the money makers, and that's why those ones are advertised. And so most countries realize that A, there's going to be a demand for these drugs that's often quite unnecessary, and B, it's going to increase drug expenditure costs quite a lot. So we've got that real problem of, you know, trying to contain the drugs bill while at the same time ensuring that people have access to, you know, appropriate treatment that they need. In New Zealand, we're lucky because we've got Pharmac, which is the, you know, the purchasing agency that gets medicines basically for the whole country. And, you know, we get a very good deal on those. But unfortunately, it means that we also lag behind some of the newer products that are available overseas. So there's been a lot in the news about that. But I guess basically the issue with Pharmac means that the margin for advertising here is a lot less than it is in the USA. And so we've got a relatively light version of direct-to-consumer advertising. It's still, I think, harmful, and it's still wasteful, but it's not nearly as bad as what happens across the Pacific.
Would you be able to point to some of like the common examples of drugs being taken unnecessarily when there are safer alternatives?
Sure. I guess, you know, one good example is a common asthma medication that is essentially the equivalent of what is ordinarily prescribed and available. But because it's advertised as being, you know, a special thing and, with an attractive package and an attractive label and all that stuff, that people end up wanting it. A few years ago, there was another example of an antidepressant, venlafaxine, which had a generic equivalent. But the adverts were basically saying, you don't need to accept, you know, the generic. You can insist on, you know, the brand name that's been, you know, successfully used for millions of patients around the world, blah, blah. You know, so there's examples like that that are, yeah, all too frequent, really. But again, rather less common here than in the States.
And kind of going back to what you said before, with the United States and New Zealand being the only high-income countries that allow unrestricted direct-to-consumer advertising, and when companies have lobbied to extend direct-to-consumer advertising to other countries, it's been mostly rejected by health authorities who have expressed similar concerns to you about the practice. In light of this, why do you think it is that we haven't changed our laws yet in Aotearoa?
Well, it's interesting how that works, and you're quite right. I mean, a number of countries have resisted attempts by lobbyists to get the law changed. That's happened in Australia, it's happened in Canada, it's happened in the UK, and it's happened in the European Union. So they've all sort of held the line on this. So you say, well, why does it happen here and in the USA and not in those other countries? And I think the reason is that we've never had laws until last year that directly bear on this practice, and the USA still doesn't. So basically, we are operating here under something reasonably ancient called the Medicines Act 1981, which didn't anticipate DTCA. That's only come in, you know, I think it started in the late 80s, early 90s, and then really developed from there. So it's basically gone through a legal vacuum or a loophole because it wasn't specifically legislated. So it's just sort of occupied that space. Other countries have outlawed it. We haven't, and neither have the Americans. So it's a curious sort of thing. And then last year, an amazing thing happened. We had a new Therapeutic Products Act. And you may remember in the middle of the year, there was a lot of debate about this, and the Labor government in its waning month got this legislation through. And remarkably, it actually allowed for DTCA to continue. Not even the Americans have done that. And the fact that a Labor government should do this is even more astonishing, because it had been Labor Party policy going back decades to get rid of DTCA. And the problem was always the National Party, which was business friendly and opposed that regulation. Now it completely flipped, and the Labor government got this through over the objections of National and the Greens. That is just, it's a total 180 degree flip in terms of the position of the two main parties. And so now we've got National holding most of the power in the coalition government, and a Minister of Health, Shane Retty, who's actually a general practitioner and is personally opposed to DTCA. But whether he can convince the National Party caucus to again legislate against it, and, you know, getting New Zealand First and ACT on side would seem almost impossible. So it would really have to be National plus the Greens, probably, who would try to legislate against it. And I just don't know whether it's got visibility enough at the moment for them to do that. What they have done, though, the coalition government now has signaled that they're going to trash the whole of the Therapeutic Products Act from last year that was passed and not even implemented yet. So we've got a big vacuum looming again in drugs regulation, and it gives us at least the opportunity to think about, well, when they come in with, you know, what they want to replace that big act with, could they possibly include something that phases out DTCA? We're hopeful, but not terribly optimistic, given the fact that the coalition is generally pretty business-friendly and pretty opposed to regulation.
What do you propose laws in New Zealand regarding advertising should be to protect consumers better?
Yeah, I think basically, well, we could do a lot worse than go back to Consumer NZ, and that body has opposed DTCA forever, basically. I mean, they're really onto it, with consumer interests being at the forefront. So when it comes to, you know, consumer choice, they're all about enabling that with good, balanced information, et cetera, et cetera. When it comes to advertising prescription medicines to the public, not a chance, for two reasons. Number one, this is something that people really can't decide on without involvement of their health professional, who's going to be writing the prescription anyway. So the information ideally should come from them or another hopefully unbiased source. And you're not going to get unbiased information about a new pharmaceutical product from the company that's marketing it. Let's face it. I mean, you know, no one really believes that. And so this isn't drug information, which unfortunately a lot of people think it is. They see adverts and they regard it like it's a public health message rather than a promotional advert. And so I think basically we can't really do things in part measure here. You know, we've either got to live with this beast or we've got to rule it out and ban it altogether. And that's what we're hoping will happen during this term in government. Yeah, I guess the other thing to say is that the opposition to DTCA, in addition to Consumer NZ, which have been, you know, absolutely, you know, clear and forthright about this for years, is the fact that all of the major groupings of medical doctors, so, you know, from GPs, psychiatrists, physicians, surgeons, public health specialists, you name it, we all oppose DTCA, and indeed our representative body, which is called the Council of Medical Colleges, CMC, is this umbrella organization over all of us, has been also very outspoken about the need to get rid of this practice in New Zealand. So on the professional side and on the consumer side, there's really just one voice. We need to be rid of it. The only ones who really want it to continue are the companies themselves, their lobbyists, and indeed their friends in government. So I think it's a pretty clear message, a uniform message, that this is a harmful and wasteful practice. The other thing that it does, I think quite importantly, that we haven't touched on yet, is to promote one of the things that's a real problem with modern healthcare, and that is too much medicine, too much healthcare when it's not needed. And so we talk about the terms overdiagnosis, when conditions are diagnosed that really don't need to be, and then overtreatment, which often follows on from that. So both overdiagnosis and overtreatment are directly linked to DTCA. And that's another reason why we really need to get rid of it.
That was Associate Professor of Medical Psychological Medicine at the University of Auckland, David Menkes, speaking to me about direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription medicines in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.